Welcome to the Original 11, the official podcast of Princeton football. And this is an episode I think people have probably been anticipating for quite a while, the official announcement of the Princeton football class of 2022. This is, you know, a group that has gotten plenty of buzz over the last few months. You know, a lot of it, of course, due to the recruiting process of Brevin White, the four-star quarterback out of California who, you know, made national headlines last summer when he kind of committed to Princeton. And then when the process seemed to reopen with the, you know, national champion Alabama Crimson Tide came calling, that one got a little attention, a little excitement in the winter. But, you know, obviously he joins what is the top-ranked FCS class in the nation by a couple different scouting services. You know, Hero Sports, 247sports.com, both of those had Princeton ranked number one overall in FCS. Brevin White, obviously a big part of that. He's the number one ranked recruit in the FCS. But a number of guys, I mean, you look at the HeroSports.com poll, they did a top 250, and Princeton players are throughout that poll, but they had four in the top 25, which we go through both in this podcast and then, you know, when the official release on GoPrincetonTigers.com, you know, those rankings are there as well. So, you know, we did this in audio version this time. We've done this kind of podcast for several years with Bob Serace. Typically, it's been video, but, you know, we thought because this ran a little long, which is a good thing because there's a lot to say about this group without any Princeton highlights. Thought this was a better way to produce this. Allows you to kind of listen to it in your own time. It's going to go about, you know, a little over 45 minutes, but you know, chock full of a lot of great information about a group that, you know, brings a lot of excitement to a program that already has, you know, a lot of excitement to it when you think about two Ivy League titles over the past 4 or 5 years and all the returning talent they have here right now. But you throw in a group like this that could have both impact, you know, immediately. We've seen freshmen produce day one. I mean, this has happened year after year, but you also think about what this group can produce over 4 years. It's an exciting time for Princeton football. So without further ado, we put this, you know, we'll start with the defense, then we move to the offense. But again, this is going to be one podcast, so I hope you enjoy. Let's hear now from the head coach, Bob Serace, about the Princeton football class of 2022.
It's, as far as I can tell, I mean, and we'll talk about each guy individually, but this class has gotten a lot of talk, and obviously, you know, the quarterback has been a big part, but it's not just been him, and it's been, you know, we've had different websites rank people differently, but it seems like a pretty balanced, deep, strong class with some top level talent. Overall, before we get to the guys individually, how do you feel about this group?
You know, every time you go through a recruiting class, you're excited because they're your guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't spend a lot of time looking at outside people and how they rank them. I respect the fact that's their job. They spend a lot of time. And they're ranking them for their own purposes. They're not ranking for how they fit into Princeton. But what was kind of unique this year that we got the guys that we really liked. The top guy here, the top guy here, the top guy. Like the guys that we really thought fit our program exceptionally well. And then these outside services, I'm getting emails from alumni, you know, you got the number one ranked recruiting class in the country. You know, you guys are ranked higher than these, whatever, 25 FBS programs or all those things. And, you know, we don't recruit them so we can get, at the end of the day, it's winning football games and bringing in great young men to this program. It's not about, you don't get bonus points for the recruiting class. Right. But if you're bringing in the right guys and these people on the outside say they're the best, that's a positive. That's a good thing. And you think the little things. We talked about the bubble previously, and you think about facilities, you think about support, you think about everybody the assistant coaches and the time they're away from their families, the support staff, right. Everything we do, right, leads into young people, young men and women, looking at this, the number one college in the country, and then you match and say, I can get everything out of what I want for my football goals as well. And, you know, you see a Chad Kanoff who's going to play in the NFL, right. Or, you know, a Seth DeValve who's starting in the NFL, they realize that's attainable.
Yeah. All right, let's look at the defense. Start on the line. Four guys coming in. Look, we saw it last year. You can have all the depth you want on the defensive line, but you lose a couple key guys, and it really can kind of submarine everything. You look at those four guys, you know, do you have kind of inside strength, outside strength? Is it pretty well balanced? Is there a way you went about that group?
That was going to be a priority. The D-line and the outside linebackers, the rush backers in particular, were going to be a priority in terms of what we're looking for. And it wasn't just a reaction to the injuries. We recruit in the spring and summer, and you're not doing a whole lot of recruiting in the month of January or February in reaction to injuries. You're building relationships. Those kids, you don't just meet them on January 1st and then they commit a week later in terms of that. That was, you know, the O-line and D-line were going to be groups that we felt were going to be priorities for this year's recruiting class. So, yeah, we wanted, you know, you always want to get one nose with the defense we run at a minimum, and then you want guys who can be base down players and pass rushers, you know, that can do both.
You want to hit each one of them?
Yeah. You know, I'll start with, I think you got him alphabetical there, but Tolo Banjoko, I like to do comps and everything else. His video is kind of like when I was in the interview process here and I watched a Princeton football game, and Caron Reed kind of stood out like this, wow, like this guy has special, you know, ability. Tola had that. I mean, he's a guy who turned down a bunch of SEC schools. And literally, I'd be in his in the recruiting process. You go visit guys like once a week or, you know, three, four times during the winter. And I'd be in there and, you know, meet with him and, you know, beautiful school. And the coach was the guy who coached Anthony Gaffney at his prep year. And the coach would tell me, you know, Notre Dame's coming in. You know, he said he does, you know, he's committed, so don't worry about it. But, you know, they wanted to meet with him, or Tennessee, or this school, mm-hmm. or that school, and, you know, Georgia. And it was one after another. And, you know, he is a 6'4", 245 pounds, and can move. And he's got some things fundamentally he's got to work on, but, you know, Steve Urbitt's as good as it gets in terms of developing D linemen. He's put a couple in the NFL already.
Kalander.
Yeah, Alex, you know, he's the nose. He's a guy we had at camp, and he's in that Simeon Lane. You know, you put him between these two chairs, A-gap to A-gap, he wins that short area, you know, that way. And, you know, he'll push the pocket in the pass pro, and, you know, he's got, you know, decent quickness and speed, but his game is power. It is win the A-gap to A-gap and help us get back to being a team that can stop the run and the nose tackle. And we've had Schlossberg and Reed.
Right,
and
big time. Sotirionis.
Sotirionis. Teams don't run the balls effectively. And, you know, that position every year is an important one, and we felt great about him. Emmett McNamara, he's a guy, when I say came to us late, we recruited him hard early, and then he wound up verbally committing elsewhere at a major college Power 5 school. And then as time goes on, things happen. And, you know, you have relationships with coaches, you have relationships with others, and we heard that he was open to looking at Ivy League schools, and, you know, we went all in. You know, I'll throw a name from the past, but I play with a guy named Rick Emery from Rumson. He's from Red Bank Catholic right down the road, and that he is long and athletic, uses his hands well, but he can bend. There's not many guys that are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". You know, he's in that 6'6", 6'6 and a half range, and he can bend and use his hands, and he is a real, real tremendous athlete that way. And then a couple other guys. One, Mike Azevedo, he might be one of those other things. You know, I got old today.
Yeah,
so
he's got
it's my birthday today. I got old today.
50.
And I'm struggling to see
right.
this. You know, there Mike Azevedo was another guy. He was off the radar. He played football in youth levels. He was a water polo player and took up football again his junior year of high school and just hits this growth spurt. And next thing you know, the Pac-12 schools are offering him. And he was really committed to the educational aspects of an Ivy League school, bonded with us. And this is a guy who was all of 6'3", 250, maybe even more than that. And he can run, he can punch. He's gonna be a guy that can play both base downs and rush the passer. And I just really like his overall game. I mean, I really enjoy how he played. And his development his senior year was special. There's not many guys that are that far off the radar and then bang,
right.
you look at this guy and you're like, this guy can really, really help you and maybe help you early that way. And then last but not least is Uche Nadukwe. And he is in the Joe Percival type in that he has dynamic athletic ability. He comes to camp, he broad jumps almost 10 feet. Mm-hmm. He runs incredibly fast. He's building his body up at kind of like Joe. He's a little more linear or outside, but you see the frame and that you're gonna be able to put him on a guard in pass rush situations and he's got a great chance to win. And I loved how he moved at camp. He was, Steve Urban, that was, by far the best athlete, that we've had probably since, guys like Joe and Tyler Desiree. His measurables are, they're like Sam Wright's.
Right.
They're off the chart measurables that way. And you also see the production, as a football player.
You mentioned outside linebackers. You brought in a number of them as well. We'll get to the inside linebackers next. But the outside guys, so many roles in terms of are you rushing the quarterback or are you, on the tight end? There's such a variety of roles. So I have to assume it's good to have a depth of talent coming in to kind of fill different spots.
Yeah, and we've had, some of the guys that are rush outside backers have turned into D linemen. Mm-hmm. Joe Percival.
Right.
Was one of those guys, and so many of the Sam outside backers like Tommy Johnson, Mike Zuli, Matt Arenz, they moved inside. So, I'll start with Dan Beard, and he's one I'm not sure where he's going to start. I think he's going to start as a Sam outside backer, put him in space. He runs. You see his high school video, and he's at safety. He's an outside backer. He plays the state title game at inside backer. He has 12 tackles, 2 sacks, literally single-handedly won that game. There's a lot of Rohan Hilton in him. Mm-hmm. In terms of speed and athleticism and explosiveness. And also just his personality on the field. It's not one where he's going to say a whole lot off of it, but man, there's a flair to a guy that can run like he runs. It's just really fun to watch. And then Larkin Eisen is an outside backer as well. He's a Sam that I think may have a chance to stick at Sam for most of his career. He is long, athletic. He was the best one we had at camp, doing that. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Starks in terms of his body. He hasn't filled out we remember Starks when he was 230 pounds at the end. But when he came in, he was a high school quarterback that had a more lean body and just through his work in the weight room. But Larkin has that ability to make plays in space, but he's also a physical player. And I know, we were just going through depth chart the other day, and Coach Mendenhall, Mike Mendenhall, is so fired up about those guys. And then at the rushbacker spots, we have three coming in. I'll start out with Kevin Bruce, and Kevin is the strongest guy we've brought into our program since Greg Sotirianos. He is, he is neck and neck with Greg, and like Greg, Kevin was an inside backer. Greg wasn't a nose tackle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Kevin will ever be a nose tackle that way. Greg just body-wise just kind of that's where he went.
Yeah, natural spot.
He was here, but I can see Kevin being a rush and maybe eventually being a defensive end as he continues to get bigger. But, you know, these guys, as they bonded, and I'd go see somebody and say, yeah, I talked to Kevin. He's benching like a million pounds. You know, it's just like this guy, I can't wait to see him. He broke our record at camp on the bench press, and he moves well. He moved well enough to play inside backer. And, you know, we really are excited about, you know, him. He'll Terry Joria and Mike Tufo and JD, like those guys, like that's going to be their favorite guy, I can tell, of this whole recruiting class. Ike Hall he's kind of like Jason Ray in that he is so powerful. You know, and Jason had just such strong hands. Like he would just kind of beat guys up to the quarterback when Jason did that, and he was so good against the run. Ike's a little more diverse in his pass rush as a high school player than Jason was, so he'll come into us a little further along, you know, from the pass rush. But yeah, I think this guy in terms of setting edges and, you know, is a guy that's going to, you know, fight to hold his ground, but then come off an edge and you put a running back on him, it's going to be an absolute mismatch. And, you know, he's one that, he's not quite in the same category as Kevin Bruce strength-wise, but he's strong. Like, we haven't had rush backers come in as strong as those guys. And then Matt Jester is, he ran like a 4.5 40 at a major college camp in terms of that. He has got dynamic speed off the edge. He's another guy that played inside backer mostly in high school. We project to be either a Sam or a Rush, but you know, kind of in that Jeremiah Tyler type, long, a little bit leaner, but man, you put him off the edge, and there's not many guys, tackles, tight ends, backs, you know, they're going to struggle with his explosiveness and speed, you know, just like, you know, JT's freshman year, he was so good for us.
Couple positions that you know, maybe a little more fortified or that you've recruited the last couple of years a little harder, inside linebacker and cornerback. You know, you didn't use as many spots for, but you know, I think you brought in a couple of impact players in Zachariah Beagle and Che Rogers. You want to talk about those two?
Yeah, you know, we plan the recruiting out in advance. Like for 2019, I have a template of, you know, numbers of where I ideally see us. And last year, we weren't going to bring a whole lot of inside backers. You know, you got Fassati and Johnson and Orr and Simcox and Johnson. And, you know, we moved Chambers there. And you got McDonald and Harvey. We got a really, you know, deeper inside backer position. And then those guys are all going to graduate.
Right.
So, you know, to bring in too many inside backers, it was going to be quality. And Zach was, you know, the best inside backer we had at camp. You know, right then and there, we were like, this is the guy, and put all of our eggs in his basket. And fortunately, it was a great fit on both ends. But, you know, he's a little bit in the Kadarius mode that he just is a tackling machine. And you can envision him being one of those guys at the end of the year. And you look at the stats and like, oh my goodness, he had 90 tackles on the year.
Right.
You know, he had this inordinate amount. He's in the tackling leaders of the league, and that's, you know, he just moves so well. He sheds blocks. He's very athletic and coordinated. And I know Coach Thomas, that was, we left camp that day, that was the guy. You know, that was the guy that fit us better than anybody. And then Shea, it was the same thing. We were not going to bring in, you know, we brought in four corners the year before. So we were only going to bring in a corner that we thought that could compete with the guys ahead of him. And Shea has that tremendous length, and he's a sprinter, you know, athletic ability, you know, a lot of ways like a Kamal Brown when Kamal was a freshman, that way, and that he's long, he's lean, he's very aggressive to the ball. He was also a wide receiver like Kamal was.
So
the ball skills are there, and, you know, I think in the secondary, some ways it's a little easier to compete earlier because cover two is cover two at Pop Warner and it's cover two in the NFL. So, you know, for guys like that, you know, we thought this year is a year we weren't going to take a whole lot of guys at those two positions and we fortunately got the guy on top of our board that way. And then safeties, I think the only true safety we brought in the same way is Dawson DeLulis. He is from, you know, I don't get in recruiting violation here, but we've had a few St. Joe's prep guys, you know, from there. And I have a lot of respect, you know, when you recruit high schools, and I know my dad, high schools, college would go to my dad and know, here's the guys on his team, here's the guys in the area.
Right.
And that's how you feel when you go into that school. He can give you a rundown on everywhere. And when he says, this is the guy, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're with the Godfather. Yep, you know, you got the blessing, you know, in terms of that. This guy fits you. And Dawson did. He came to camp. He runs extremely well. He's probably in the bio mold physically, where you're kind of thinking, man, he's not imposing physically, but he is a tremendous tackler and has great instincts. So we're real excited about him. And every prep guy we've had has achieved, you know, really, really well here. And then Christian Brown, I don't know exactly what Christian is. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? Is he a nickel? I try not to put too much on a freshman's plate. Even Dorian, he was just a nickel as a freshman, you know, that way. Trevor was just a nickel as a freshman. You know, which of the three positions we put him out. He is the, you know, in terms of dynamic athleticism, it was jaw-dropping when I watched his film. I was like, where, you know, it was, we got to get this guy. It was drop whatever we're doing, and we got to figure this, you know, we got to get him to Princeton. We got to get him to visit. He fits us from an athletic standpoint, you know, that way. And in a lot of ways, he does fit the nickel spot, you know, very well, in that he's got some corner skill and he's got some safety skill in terms of that. But his speed is, you know, he's a guy that'll probably do the hurdles and track here and be a guy that scores points for an Ivy League champion.
We'll wrap up defensively with a punter. I mean, special teams, we saw last year. I mean, we've seen every year special teams makes a big impact. So you bring in a punter in George Triplett?
Yeah, he's kind of Joe Cloud-like, and that Joe would walk into a room and you wouldn't think he was on the football team. And very often punters are more physically imposing. And George is, you know, probably 160, 165 pounds, soaking wet, you know, not tall, you know, thin. He's got amazing technique. Every ball he hits seems to be very consistent and accurate, and one of those guys that's so reliable and dependable. We saw that in person at camp. We saw that, you know, on his video, that we think that, you know, that's something that we need to have competition at that position, and that George's consistency, Tyler Roth was incredibly consistent over 4 years, and we were a little too inconsistent last year. We had too many misses, and we got to get better. You know, and the guys within the program know that, and George knows that, and those guys will compete.
All right, so we look at the offense, and it's a group that has a lot of talent, and it's spread out, but let's not bury the lead here, because you have a kid in Brevin White who got a lot of attention last summer and then got a lot of attention, you know, a couple months ago when all of a sudden – you know, he was visiting the reigning national champion at Alabama, and he's the highest ranked quarterback to ever, you know, choose an Ivy League school.
Not just quarterback.
Right. Highest ranked recruit ever to choose an Ivy League school. So, you know, he also comes in at a position where, you know, you're going to return a former Ivy League offensive player of the year and somebody who knows your offense, you know, like very few people. So, you know, he's got some time to sit and learn and develop, even if, you know, no freshman comes in wanting to do that. But let's look, you know, let's hear a little bit about actually Brevin White, the player, and why he was such a highly touted recruit.
Yeah, that position, I mean, the NFL draft, I don't know when this will run, but we're sitting here today, the NFL draft's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you can't drive if you turn on sports radio, and they're talking only about quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, the right guard from Notre Dame might be the best player in the draft, but he's not going to get as much. And I was a center. We understand that. That position has been instrumental to our success offensively, the Ivy League records being nationally number one in certain things last year, that position is obviously valuable in terms of that. And in our offense, it drives the offense. Right. And we've had, numerous
players of the year.
Yeah.
Quinn Epperly, John Lovett, Chad Knopf. I mean, this is an offense that.
Yeah, if you're scoring 35 plus points a game, 40 plus points a game, it's going to be, the success at your quarterback position's going to be important. And, Jason Mitchell, our director of football operations, worked in scouting departments in the NFL for 10 years. I have an unbelievable staff. Like,
right.
Where these guys' backgrounds are and the ability to, I feel like I'm a game manager quarterback as a head
right.
coach because these people are so good. And we were sitting in an athletic staff meeting and there was a break and not like I was on my phone and getting myself in trouble. But I showed it to Jason. I said, here's his Brevin sent me his highlight video through the first four or five games. I said, give me a comp NFL-wise. He knew what that meant.
Right.
And who would you compare him to? And his comp was, he's like Aaron Rodgers. And not that he's going to be Aaron
right.
Rodgers. I'm not
right.
saying
right.
and putting that pressure on him, but his style of play is that way. In terms, he's very effective in the pocket. He's athletic enough and coordinated enough to be accurate and make plays on his own outside of the pocket. And, as a coach, you don't want to set limits on guys and say, this is all they are and pigeonhole them into things. So when you get a guy that can do multiple things, it can be accurate in both. It's a very smart, poised quarterback. That's very going to be very fun to work with. And you think about the fit in our offense and guys who've had that type of mobility, but that type of accuracy have had tremendous success. And, his statistics are off the charts, in terms of that. He throws like 50 touchdown passes and
right.
four interceptions or, stuff that's, video game-like, that way. But there is going to be a process. There is going to be development. There is going to be those type things. And, we don't set limits. Whether, C.J. Wall was the best corner. We didn't play him because he was coming in as a top recruit, which he was.
Right.
We played him because he earned the position. And when they're ready and when they earn those positions, I wouldn't have said, Riley Radosevich play tackle. That's a hard position to play as a freshman.
Right.
Riley Radosevich ended up all Ivy, that way. So, yeah, we get guys ready. We get them ready to compete. Guys want to compete. But in the same respect, we hear be a tiger. Well, the G is growth.
Yeah.
And more valuable to me than anything is, are they growing? Are they getting better? Are they, from August 16th when we start camp to November, have they hit certain benchmarks and they've improved? And, I think the guys we brought in, offense, defense, special teams, including Brevin, those guys, they have a lot of high standards and goals, and they'll fit into the standards of excellence that we expect as well that way. And that's what they want. I mean,
right.
that's part of the reason they're here, is to challenge themselves in every aspect of their life. And, I really feel with, having an NFL quarterback that's just graduating, having a guy coming back that will have an NFL scout at every practice
right.
for that guy, in terms of, what he does, having Quinn Epperly still playing,
right.
dominated the
yeah.
spring league and has a chance now to get back in the NFL. So we've done a pretty good job developing him, but a lot of it is the person himself. And I feel like these recruits and Brevin, they got those inner competitive traits that they'll be successful.
A couple of running backs you bring in, and this is an important spot because,
yeah.
Of all the production you've gotten from Charlie Volker, he'll graduate this
yeah.
year, and you got a couple other guys, obviously,
yeah.
but you've seen some freshmen who've made impacts over the last few years. So you got a couple guys in Gray and McMillan.
Yeah, so it's Trey and Trey. They're
yeah.
spelled differently, and you'll remember this, and a lot of the people watching that have followed us for a while. We brought in Dre and DeAndre,
right?
And it was kind of a thunder and lightning,
mm-hmm.
That way where DeAndre was the thunder. And that's Trey McMillan. When you watch his video clips, he's a powerful running back. He's explosive that way. And then you watch Trey Gray, and he is dynamic. He is elusive. I wouldn't pigeonhole him and just say he's a running back. He can be a slot. You can run the ball with those quick speed sweeps.
Right.
You can get him the ball in, you know, special teams. But getting him the ball in space as he matures and physically is ready, when he is ready, that's going to be an ideal. Is how do we get him the ball in space? Just like, you know, Sean, Coach Gleason, and he's just like James Perry. Like, they just love having
right.
dynamic weapons.
We saw what Dre Nelson could do.
How
you know.
Creative
right.
we were. And Sean coached Dre as the running back coach. And
right.
obviously, James was the coordinator then. And you'd sit in meetings and how creative they were. Trey's got a chance to be one of those guys that really allows us to expand our minds in terms of how we can be creative.
You have a big crop of senior wide receivers this year. Mm-hmm. So this was obviously an important position for you when you look at guys like Carlson and Horsted and Parkinson and Argue and, you know, the group of guys that are going to be departing. So four guys you bring in, you know, and it seems like looking at some of the film, a group that can be versatile enough in this offense that, you know, like you said with the running backs, you can use in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah. I think literally when you said a big group, when you say,
yeah,
you know,
big,
those guys,
yeah, exactly.
they're like trees. I mean, we got receivers that are yeah. so big physically, you know, that way. And it was very purposeful to get, because this offense, it is challenging to learn the signals, how you line up. I mean, Dennis Goldman, there's no better wide receiver coach in terms of teaching techniques. And, mm-hmm. you know, we saw what he's done with the Seth DeValves and Connor Kellys and Matt Costellos and obviously Jesper and Carlson, and you know, you go on and on from Trey Peacock, you know, that way. We've had a lot of success with those guys, but it was purposeful to bring in guys because it does take time to learn the offense that when they graduate will be certainly, if they're not ready to compete right away as freshmen, that when we get to spring ball, they're ready to compete that way. The one that is in the tree mold is Preston Parsons. Physically, he's going to remind you of Jesper and Carlson. We like to bring in a big receiver. It's tough to get guys that are 6'5", 225 pounds.
Right.
Like they don't just, you know,
growing
fall
trees.
Off and grow on
yeah.
trees. Yeah, that's not where you know. But Preston was a guy that physically just, he had all those characteristics in terms of his ability to catch the ball, his size, make contested catches. He's certainly fast enough and feel he can be in that mold, that style of player. I'm not saying he's going to catch 92 passes and
right, right.
15 touchdowns and be a first-team All-American as a junior, but he has that type of a skill set in terms of that. Dylan Classy, Fred Stengel was a longtime coach at Bergen Catholic, and he's now coaching as an assistant there. And Fred and my dad went to college together. And I walked in, he said, "Congratulations, you got Yogi." And Dylan had already committed. This is like in January, he'd already matriculated. I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You got Yogi Berra." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, let me tell you." He goes, "When Casey Stengel used to get on the bus, he looked on that bus and he wanted to make sure Yogi was on there. If Yogi was on there, the Yankees had a chance to win." He said, "That's Dylan Classy." Now, Bergen Catholic has an unbelievable program. They were state champs. They've been consistently successful. And he said, "That's the guy that the head coach wants to make sure is on the bus. That's the leader of the team." And in every big moment, Dylan Classy came through for them last year. And that's what we saw at camp. He is just, in a lot of ways, has a lot of Matt Costello traits, and that he is so advanced as a football player. You know, we have high expectations there. And then Andre Osivis is the first guy we recruited from Hawaii. I did not get to make the home visit there, but I would have liked to. But Andre had a connection with one of our alumni who was a friend and teammate. He was a freshman when I was a senior. And one of those, "Hey, when he comes to campus, could you give him a tour, you know, the day before camp?"
Right.
Obviously, it's legal. We can do that. And gave Andre a tour. Coach Verbit, you know, spent a lot of time with him. And he's 6'3", he's 185 pounds. We're thinking, okay, well, this kid looks pretty good. Like, this might not be just the typical you're doing a friend of, you know, a favor on this. And then he runs a 4.55 at camp. He catches everything. There's some rawness to his game, but there is some traits there that as he develops, he's in the perfect place because, you know, Dennis has developed these guys so well. and he's in the perfect place that he may not be immediately there, but I really can't wait to see him, you know, as the year comes to a close and, you know, as the future holds, because he has special, special ability. And then Michael Polk, and it was interesting, three of the guys were there the same day at camp, Andre, Michael, and Dylan. And Michael was a guy that I coached a guy named Mike Forrest at Western Connecticut. He was the state 200-meter track champion at from Oakcrest High School in New Jersey. And when Mike Forrest ran, his feet didn't hit the ground. He just, it was like so fast and so explosive with his speed. And when he was at camp, that's how Polk ran. He had the fastest 40 of anybody we've had, you know, at camp since I've been here. He just has this explosive speed. We've needed that. That was something that really wanted. We've had a lot of big possession, compete for the ball receivers. And then we've had guys like Jesper who are big, but they have a way and find a knack for making these unbelievable plays and gaining more yards. But for the outside receivers, and we've had some, you know, whether it's Tiger or Roman Wilson, we've had some slots that are dynamic with the ball. We haven't had that outside receiver. Right. They can just flat out go. And that's where Michael fits in.
Three tight ends you bring in. Again, another position where, you know, you're going to lose Graham Adamaitis after this season. You know, in a position where, you know, you can have different strengths. You can have the blocking tight end. You can have more of the receiving option tight end. So you feel good about kind of the balance of skills you bring?
Yeah, I think physically they all resemble Graham. They're all 6'5", and they're all 220-plus pounds that way. Harrison Caponitti is probably the furthest along. He is, in terms of blocking technique and all-around game, all three of them are tremendous basketball players as well. Which is
a lot of tight ends, you see that. That
something
that
we look for, yeah, something that, you know, if they have that skill, it really adds value to who we're looking at and taking. But, yeah, Harrison is probably more advanced as a blocker than the other two in terms of that. He's done it longer. He was asked to do it more in high school in terms of that, but catches the ball around. But he's probably more of the all-around mold. Carson Bobo and Caden Dumas, I would say, especially Caden, they were basketball players that figured out football later on. Football wasn't maybe as natural to them. Mm. Where when they were kids, I can just imagine those two guys playing AAU basketball, 12 years old,
right,
and just dominating.
Right.
And if they grew to be 6'9", Mitch would have them, you know, that way. But the fact they're 6'5", they wind up playing tight end. And they have amazing athletic ability. Bobo's like Carlson, and that his ability to make contested catches is off the charts. It looked like Carlson's high school video, except for he was a tight end and not an outside receiver. Caden Dumas, we were a little late to the game on him, and he was more of a basketball recruit until this summer. And we were watching film, and I had a video sent to me. It was, you know, Caden, I'm watching it, and he makes this double move. And I just keep watching the video. I'm thinking, man, am I like punch drunk from watching video all day? And so I grabbed Mike Willis and I said, and Mike does a great job with our tight ends.
Right.
So Mike, make sure I'm not being biased on this. I'm not going crazy. This guy is unbelievable athletic in my opinion. And I want your honest evaluation. And Mike was on board. And then a college coach who we know and trust went to see him play basketball and said, this guy's athleticism's off the charts. And I really feel we got three guys that complement each other, but they have a common trait in that they're going to help us in the pass game, which with, you know, the quarterback position and, you know, the young quarterbacks we have and coming in, I think it's going to really fit what we're doing.
We'll wrap it up with offensive line. Again, you know, you lost three seniors this year, and this is a position where you always need bodies. You know, injuries happen. You want to play 9-10 guys a game. You're going to lose some seniors again this year. So big group, you want to just kind of, and I know at least a couple that could be impact guys day one.
Yeah, I'll start, you know, a little bit positionally, but Zach Zambrano is a center. He's the best center we've recruited since I've been here. He's mentally a lot like Bush and Dieters, you know, that way, but he's just bigger. Like he, I think, just finished like fifth in the whole state of Florida for powerlifting. He's just a stronger, bigger guy coming into it. But like Bush went to Plant High School. He goes to American Heritage. They're two of the best programs in all of Florida. And, you know, he's not going to have any issues making the calls, and the game's not going to be too big for him. There'll be an adjustment. It's not going to happen day one. But, you know, physically, he has the strength to compete day one more than most offensive linemen we brought in past years that way. And then Ford Roberts will be a guard who also does some center, really a lot like Eric Ramirez, in that Eric was a little bit frustrating early on in his career, and that he wanted to kill somebody so bad, he wound up on the ground too much. And Ford came to camp, and he was crushing guys, but you just saw he's going to be like Ramirez.
Right.
We're going to have to like just take a deep breath every once in a while and block them. You know, let's get pluses and make your block every time rather than having some strikeouts, you know, that way. And, you know, Eric, once that part of his game came into place, he was the best right guard in the league for 2 years in a row.
Right.
And I see a lot of those similar traits in Ford in terms of his leverage, in terms of his footwork. And then Luke Ashenbrand, he was kind of Max Cole-like, and that is he a D lineman, is he an O lineman? We just recruited him as a football player, and we'll figure it out. And I had an idea. This is how many O linemen I wanted, 6. This is how many interior D linemen, you know, ends, tackles, nose, 5. And when we had 5 and 5, Luke is okay if you play a line? Absolutely, I love Coach Arik. He's one of those guys, he just loves football.
Right.
I just really enjoyed recruiting him. I enjoy the fact he seems to be that personality, and like Max Cole, that leader of a group in some ways, that he just loves lifting, he loves working out. He is a tremendous football player. We don't get many guys that could play D-line or O-line. You know, that way, typically, athletically, they're one or the other. And, you know, I think, like Max, he's going to allow us to do some things, you know, at the second level or in space that would be really good. And then our tackles, Henry Bird, he's a lot like Holder in that he comes to camp, he's so long and just looks the part, but you're not sure if he's going to be strong enough. And man, is he, you know, filling out. When we saw him over his official visit, it's like, man, he's starting to just, body's maturing and everything else. And you see him a lot like Holder, that you know you have these athletic talents and you have the length.
And
now it's, a matter of having the physical ability. And, you know, he's another guy that just attacks the weight room and, you know, for a long guy, he's making strides, you know, with that. And then Jack Carter, you know, he is, you know, you'll remember him and you have to go way back. But Kevin Mill was a guy that I got here, and he was the best offensive lineman. He was in the Mitch Swiger category, and that Kevin Mill would have been 2-time All-Ivy and an All-American if he had stayed healthy, because his balance and coordination and that skill was, you can't teach those things. You know, Coach R can do drills all day, all night, and a guy can get a little bit better, but when you're exceptional, Willie Anderson, who I coached in the NFL, was exceptional. It was nothing to do with anything I ever told Willie Anderson or anybody else ever told him. He just had great balance. Carter has tremendous balance that way, and he's got strength. He's not going to wow you with being 6'6" or anything like that, but we think he can stick a tackle like Kevin Mill did because he's got footwork and balance and great technique, and he was further along than any offensive lineman we've ever had at camp, at our own camp, and seen him in person. And then Connor Scaglione, Coach Arik was at a different camp and was just helping out and working it, and sends me a note. You have to watch this guy. I love him, you know, in terms of that. And, you know, I was able to communicate and, you know, hey, give me a call. You know, I said, okay, I remember my son's baseball game. Like, this guy just loves football. And he had to leave the call because he was an Eagle Scout, and he had to go do something else. I'm like, well, this kid fits us better than anybody.
Right.
You know, he's in that type realm, that he's a lot like Riley Radosevich, in that he's athletic. I saw him play basketball, and man, can he move. But the thing that impressed me the most, they had to do a suicide, or whatever they call it, back and forth nowadays. the whole length of the court for every missed free throw. They had the varsity and JV, so there's 22 guys. They missed about 20 free throws. He won every one of them. And he was the big guy. There was not another guy within 50 pounds of him. And that's the way he plays, with this all-out effort. And kind of like, that's what reminds me of Riley, in that he just has this gung-ho nature that fits our tempo of our offense, fits us very well.